the communion table and done that often, often. So thank you. That was very special. I really appreciated that. So yeah, thank you. It's a privilege to be able to bring God's word to you today. My name is Andy Pitt. I've got a funny accent. I come from this place originally. Sorry about that. But it's wonderful to be able to just be with you in Margaret River. I work as the chaplain at Murrumbina. And it's wonderful to do that work. And so, I get to drive past the church once or twice a week on my way there. So, when Val called me, and can I just check if this works? Let's just see. Maybe still warming up. Let's switch it on again. Okay, off and on. Okay, there's movement. We have liftoff of some kind. All right. Well, when Val made contact with me, before I go there, just to say Dorothy has been guessing that I'm preaching from Ephesians 6:10 on, and I'm not. I just was conflicted this week about what to preach on, and with Halloween, I was like, oh, there's a natural progression there. And yet when I looked at the beginning of chapter 6, I was like, man, there's some gold that needs to be mined here, you know. And so, forgive me, I have not stepped into spiritual armor and all that good stuff. I've left that good stuff for somebody else. And I've kind of, because I really think that what we're going to talk about today is important. And it's about train up a child. So when Val made contact with me about preaching, I was traveling around South Africa. So I was surprised to get the text and glad too. So thank you, Val. And it's my privilege to be here. I haven't seen my family in South Africa in 6 years and been wondering, as the oldest son, how it's going, how they're doing. So it was wonderful to go back. And during that 2 weeks there, I got to enjoy time with the family and with a lot of friends. One of the things that I did, I've got an uncle in the Eastern Cape, and I had to drive up to the Eastern Cape, which is about 1,500K road trip up the garden route. And doesn't that sound nice? It's just a beautiful part of the country. And just to sit in that space with my podcasts and my music and enjoy all of that. And I was just thrown back into my childhood again and again and again. Every place that I went had memories, and rich memories. And so that was really beautiful. I got to go and enjoy. Sorry, there we go. And just some glimpses of South Africa and the Cape particularly. You can see those beautiful mountains, right? But as I traveled and as I saw people and as I enjoyed amazing food and good culture and familiar places and people, I just kind of was like, how lucky am I? How fortunate am I to be able to just do this trip, to be able to enjoy it all? And I dubbed it the gratitude tour. And as I was caught up in nostalgia and all that kind of thing, it was very good. And I visited my old school. I visited my old homes where I grew up, my old little town called King Williamstown. The old beaches that I learned to surf in, and of course the old Baptist churches that I was part of. So there's a glimpse of three churches that have been so influential in my nurture and development. The one at the top, Bethany Emmanuel Baptist Church, where I was raised and Sunday schooled and youth grouped and baptized in that church. And then the middle one, Ganubi Baptist, where I came back to the Lord, and I got married in that church and became the youth and associate pastor there. And just a really good ministry season. And the one at the bottom is Somerset West Baptist, where I was called as a student pastor and served in that church for 16 years while we were in Somerset West, which is a beautiful part of the country. Think of mountains, oceans, and vineyards. And that was what we lived in. It's a beautiful part of the country. But it was all this nostalgia on every front, but spiritually it was also nostalgic. And it was such a privilege to revisit those places, right? Here are my mum and dad. And one of the things that I got to do in Somerset West Baptist, their plaque is in the Remembrance Garden. And I went to go and sit there with Mum and Dad, and just both of them have passed, and spent some time just, again, deeply grateful for the childhood that I had, for their upbringing and the opportunities that it had presented. My dad was a missionary to the Xhosa people. He was vice principal at a Bible school for African pastors during apartheid, which was quite radical. His life, though, was in legacy was in childcare, and I give probably has some bearing on today's sermon, because he's ran children's homes, and it was there that I grew up, leaving a legacy in South Africa of childcare, as they provided shelter and sanctuary and faith for many children and young people at that time. And it wasn't easy for us as kids sharing Mum and Dad with 70 or 80 other kids, and Dad was always very busy in that work, but we knew that it was important work. I think this work was way more than a job for my dad. This work was a calling, and as I've grown up, I've come to see the importance of that calling. I think what I'm trying to say is my parents instilled Ephesians 6, verse 1 to 4 into us as kids, and also the many other children that were part of their children's home, as the staff and the homes in ethos was Christian. So again, this was the soil in which we grew up. So let's just have a prayer, and then we're going to get into the scripture together. Father, it's a privilege to just sit in your word for a little while together. Thank you for Margaret River Baptist. Thank you for its legacy. Thank you for its commitment and its witness in this town. Thank you that you are with them. Thank you that you are pleased with them and that you are at work amongst them. And Lord, we just pray that you, as we sit as your people around in your word today, thank you for the book of Ephesians. Thank you for the Apostle Paul and just the amazing ambassador that he was for the kingdom, not just in his day, but still speaks to us today. And so open our ears to hear what you would be saying to us through the apostle this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read Ephesians 6, and there it is, Ephesians 6, and I'll read it from here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. And my wife was looking at this PowerPoint last night going, you see, I'm let off the hook, so I can exasperate the kids as long as you don't. So I was like, I don't know about that. But anyway, she thought it was her ticket to go. Anyway, the book of Ephesians is split into two halves, two parts, chapter 1 to 3. And forgive me if you've covered this ground as you've sat in Ephesians for the last little while. It's divided into two parts. Chapter 1 to 3 is about the gospel story. It's all about the gospel, right? That power to transform lives and homes and communities. And then this chapter 4 to 6 is about our story in light of the gospel. So Paul is writing about the gospel's effect on us personally, in our families, in our churches, and in a community. In chapter 4, Paul starts with the word therefore, a word that hinges chapter 1 and 3 and 4 and 6. So listen to his heart for God's people who are being transformed by the power of grace, by the gospel power and grace, that they would be one people, one in Christ, that God's diverse people, just think about Ephesus, it would have been a city, right? It was a city of diverse people, racially, culturally, linguistically, and spiritually. And Paul's prayer is that they would come together to be one, the people of God. And so Ephesians chapter 4 reads, "Therefore I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." And that's Paul's heart cry for the people in Ephesus. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. So Paul in chapter 4:5 writes about this concept applied in the realms of our lives and in our households. And so he begins, I think you covered it last week, with husbands and wives. Chapter 5, verse 22 to 33. Then he addresses today the passage about parents and children. And then somebody will deal with slaves and masters moving forward. I want to just say it's great to have the children here today. You guys rock. Good to have you out the back there. You guys are awesome. And this passage is written for you. And it's funny that Paul starts by addressing you guys this morning. But I just want to salute you for being in church today. That's great. Could be anywhere today and you're here, and that's awesome. Thank you. So Paul's first challenge is to children. Here it goes. Put on your seatbelts, guys, in the back row. Here we go. His challenge is first to children from God's family to obey their parents and to honor their mother and their father. But I'm sure all of you are thinking with me, yeah, we're not seeing so much of that these days, right? There's a lot going on. Society generally seems to be drifting quite far from that, right? Would you reckon? And one of the things that my wife and I get to do is register the kids for leavers, all like 10,000 of them that descend, and they will be here on the 17th, so put your seatbelts on. But they're coming again, and you know, there's just so many shenanigans and so much that goes on during things like leavers. You know, it really is quite distressing. But you know, they are young people and kids. But this whole thing of obedience and honor seems to be slipping in our day and age, doesn't it? You know, it's quite a radical call. And as I was thinking about that in context of where I live and what I see and what I'm exposed to in Busselton and in Australia, but not just here, in South Africa, it's a global thing. You see that drift and you see the slide, and isn't it more than mildly alarming, right? It is. And Romans 1 speaks about the challenge of godlessness, wickedness, and lawlessness. And one of the real challenges or fears that I have is around this whole thing that Romans speaks about, where it's about God handing them over, you know. And may God forbid that God hands our generation of young people over to their wickedness, and also to the consequences of that wickedness in their day and age. But you know, when it comes down to it, we had our own version of that in our own day and age, didn't we? You know, and whatever age you are, that whole rebellious heart thing that is in, we see in our kids, that's alarming and distressing, is there in us too, if we look for it deeply enough. Anybody agree with that? Yeah. Amen. Okay. All right. So in my case, I must confess that as a missionary's kid and first of three siblings, there was a rebellious heart in me growing up. You know, I didn't always keep to this whole obey and honor my parents. I gave them a hard time. At times I rebelled and gave them strife and trouble. Back in my day, corporal punishment was a good thing. All right, it was something that was meted out quite regularly, and my mum broke more than a few spoons on my behind, and and I'm sure you've had some version of that as well. But discipline plays its part in this whole learning to obey and thing, you know. Proverbs chapter 13: He who spares the rod and the rod hates his son or daughter, but he who loves them is careful to discipline. I like that word, careful to discipline. That means you've got to meet it out well and right, not just reactively, etc., etc. So, as I say, my poor mum broke a few good wooden spoons on me, and that was, I think we've come out okay, you know. But looking back as an adult, though, I can see their efforts, and I do believe that they've paid off, right? They've paid off in me. I can see grace has been at work in my life and in our home. Somehow we've all come to my brother and my sister in that first picture. We've all come to a place of respect, and we've all come to honor our mother and father while they were alive. And I think even now, even since they've passed, we still speak well of them. It was my mum's birthday 2 or 3 days ago, and it was lovely to just hear some tributes from my brother and sister and their kids about Nana and Pop, and that was beautiful to see. So we've all got it wrong, right? Anyone here hasn't got it wrong? Are we sitting in the same space today, right? We're sitting in the same soil, knowing that we fumbled, bumbled through it, but somehow, by God's grace, he has been at work, and we have benefited from the advice and the wisdom and the input that our parents have had on us. And this, we have come to see God's pathway as being right and proved that his grace was at work in our homes. I'm just so grateful for this concept of grace in the world. You know, I am so grateful because it's grace that saved me. And it's grace that saves me every day, isn't it? My wife, on the other hand, there's a picture of us in the top corner there, never grew up in a Christian home at all. There was a lot of dramas and rivalry. Her mum was married 3 times. She was often a single mum with her 3 young girls. And growing up, there was a lot of hurt. There was a lot of hardship. There was also a lot of dysfunction. My wife asked to go off to boarding school to get a bit of normality and balance in her life. And I kid you not about that. And it was there that she was invited to Grahamstown Baptist Church, and it was there that she came to know the Lord, and grace started its journey in her family, and it was a beautiful thing to see. And over time, I've seen grace showing its head again and again and again, as one by one, her sisters came to know the Lord. And then her mum, after reading the Left Behind series, maybe that scared the hell out of her, and maybe that's not a bad thing, but grace came to play its beautiful role and leave its beautiful mark on my wife's life and on her family. And it ended better for them all. God has worked faithfully, kindly, and miraculously in their home as well. It's a beautiful thing to watch and to be part of. I don't know what family you come from. I don't know what pain and hardship you have faced in your family. I don't know what issues or marks that has left on your life. And working at Murrumbina, I'm aware many old folks have still got childhood traumas and childhood pain from when they were growing up. Many of them too live alienated from their own kids, wondering where they are, what they're doing, and wishing they could see them again. So I'm under no illusions that we're sitting here today. Some of you have walked through incredible hardship in this space of family and home. So choosing young people or children, doing what is right, and choosing to obey and honor and forgive will restore just about any relationship. All because grace comes to stay in our homes, and grace can come and stay in your home too, if it's not there already. Paul says to obey and honor your parents is not just the right thing to do, it is the blessed thing to do. Did you get that play on words? The blessed thing to do, right? It contains a promise that it will go well with you. Isn't that worth holding on to? Isn't that the nugget? God says, you do this right and I'm going to bless it. I'm going to bless it in a couple of ways. I'm going to bless you, one, with a good life. We're all about the good life, aren't we? But I'm going to bless you with a good life. I'm also going to bless you with a long life. And I've yet to see where that takes me personally, but I'm grateful that it is there. And as I drove through the Eastern Cape on my little road trip, with my surfboards in my passenger seat, my little renter car Peugeot, and we were whirling around, I was just overwhelmed with that sense of deep gratitude, God keeping his promise to us, because all has gone well with me and with my family. So firstly, Paul speaks to children. Honor and obey your parents. Now he speaks to fathers, and the next slide is for that. Challenge to fathers, and again, my wife reckons the mothers have got off scot-free on this one. I'm not exactly sure about that. But anyway, a challenge to the fathers. Let's read verse 4 again. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Don't exasperate your children. What does that word mean? Any of you young people at the back want to have a shot at what that word means? Or any of you older young people in the middle or in the front? What does exasperate mean? Any of you young guys at the back? Exasperate? Yeah? Anyone else? Yeah?
Overwhelm.
Overwhelm. That's a great word. Okay.
Provoke to anger.
That's great. Yeah?
Drive to despair.
Drive to despair. Yeah. Anger, despair, provoke. Yeah, that's good. Any other thoughts? Okay. Well, I just went to Dr. Google because it's always right, right? So exasperate means to irritate, annoy, and frustrate someone intensely to the point of making them act in an unwise way. All right. And this may be through unfulfilled promises, delays, or criticisms. So I think you're all on the money. This is pointed at us fathers, though, at us dads, at the men amongst us today. And it's a challenge not to abuse your power to lead. We are not called to be controlling. We're not called to be absent. We're not called to be passive. We're not called to be overbearing or unreasonable, harsh, severe, or to set expectations so high for our children that they simply can't measure up to them. I've had to sit and think about it a bit just as I was preparing this message. My daughters are both up in Perth and the city, and they've both moved out of home. We're really enjoying this empty nest space. But, you know, sort of sitting at home with them a little distant away going, gee, how have I done? You know, and that's been my little reflection this weekend as I've been sitting in this sermon. So instead, Paul calls us fathers to bring our children up in the training and the instruction of the Lord, to disciple them in each season of their lives. Deuteronomy 6, I think, captures it well, which says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home. This is the home stuff, right? Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the way, along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Remember the phylacteries they used to wear as the Jewish Hebrew people. Write them on the door frames of your homes and on your gates. God was calling Israel to do this with devotion. This whole thing of passing the faith or passing training and discipling onto our kids. So that was such a priority with them. And I think it's an important thing to remember. So we're called to be intentional dads and to use each moment of every as an opportunity to love and encourage our kids, to model faith to them to be involved in their lives, to spend time with them, invest yourself in them, teach them, discipline them, and nurture them, and most of all, do that all to raise them in the Lord. And I don't think the mums get off this all scot-free. There's work for us all to do here, right? Isn't there? And Proverbs has a lot to say about raising our children. I just want to leave with you one scripture there. I've put a whole lot of scriptures in there, but, you know, there's scriptures like train. Thank you so much. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from that. And some of you may be in process with that. You may be going, hey, man, I've done all the training, and now I'm doing all the praying, and I'm not seeing my kid moving, budging. They're rebellious. They're out there somewhere. And I want to say, just keep praying. God is faithful, and God is committed, and God will come through. But in Proverbs chapter 2, my son, or daughter, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Isn't that something to instill in your kids? The fear of the Lord, right? For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. I liked your shield analogy earlier, right? For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of the faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter the heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse. So just that far. I'm not going to read all those scriptures from Proverbs, but if you are taking notes and want to, there's a whole lot in Proverbs, the Book of Wisdom. King Solomon wrote that. So to close, why is today's message important? Why is what we're talking about today important? Why are these four little verses really important for us today? Nearly forgot about this. Okay. May I remind you that we all live in a parallel universe where our physical realm, this realm that we live in, is surrounded by a spiritual reality that affects us constantly. I don't know if we live in the awareness of that, but in the book of Job, you get this story behind the story, where in Job, Job sitting in his physical story, but beyond that, the curtain is drawn back to the very court of heaven, where God is and the angels are parading past, and God and Satan is there too. And God has this conversation with Satan. And I want to remind you about what this drama, because God asks Satan, where have you come from? Those probing questions like he asked Adam and Eve in Genesis 3, where are you? They were hiding in the hiding because of their sin, right? And Satan replies to God, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it. May I remind you that the devil is still roaming through the earth like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. 1 Peter 5:3. He attacks that which is most vulnerable and yet most important to God, families and households like yours and mine. For if he can win there, he is spoiling God's purpose in the earth. And he is God's spoiler, right? He wants to undo everything that God has done. And so how is he targeting marriages today? Just, you don't need to answer that. Just think about that. How is he decimating families today? Turning parents and children against one another. How rife is slavery in the world? That's next week's passage, or perhaps. How rife is slavery in the world today? They say that slavery has never been more prominent in the world, and we know it was prominent in the Greco-Roman world. It's never been as prominent as it is in the world today. And we often live with our eyes closed to it, unaware. We had somebody just preaching at Cornerstone, where I am, last week, about the sex trade and the sex slavery that goes on in Asia and how prominent that is. And it was quite disturbing, to say the least. I won't break any stats out for you now, but it was quite alarming and confronting, slavery having its place. These are the very thing that Paul writes about, it, not just in Ephesians 6, but also in other epistles. It's interesting, in Colossians 3, it's a parallel passage where Paul's addressing the same things. You've got to get it right in the family. Get it right with your kids. Get it right as slaves and your owners. Why is that? Because somehow Paul sees strong Christian marriages, families, and households as effective beachheads for not just overcoming the evil one, but for raising the next generation who will continue to overcome him. I just found this, and I thought it would be an interesting read to close out today. This is a book called The Next Wave. Not just because it sounds like a surf book, but it's empowering the generation that will change the world. And in it, David Wraith says, handing over your life to God in your youth provides the creator of the universe with the opportunity to direct all your youthful energy and potential into things that matter. It provides the platform for launching a life of lasting meaning and purpose and blessing for others. A life that will have so much impact for good in the world that it will resonate through eternity. The alternative is a life without God, resulting in squandering all that youthful energy, creativity, and potential on things that don't matter, or even worse, on things that are incredibly destructive to the individual and to others in their circle of influence. And I think there's some truth to that, isn't there? People who submit to one another, who are being transformed by the grace and power of the gospel, people who live in the world, who live right in the world, who live by love, and as children of light in a dark world, Ephesians 5, people who stand strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6:10, equipped in God's armor as soldiers living for Christ in our day. That's what God wants, and that's what we can be, and that's what he calls us to be. Amen. Do you mind if I just close in a prayer for us? As we pray, where are things with you and your family today? Is there unity and blessing there? Or is there conflict, division, and pain? In the quietness of this moment, invite God into this space with you. He sees you. He understands your pain. As a prodigal God, he understands and has to deal with lost sons and daughters who too may be out there somewhere, far from home and far from him. He sees you. He sees them. He's able to turn them. He's able to restore. he's able to bring together again as his grace gets to work there. As you sit here today, if this is you, as an act of submission and trust, quietly in your seat, you can open your hands. And in so doing, you let your situation go. You hand it over into his capable hands. Come, Lord, turn the hearts of the sons and daughters back to their fathers and mothers and towards home. Perhaps physically and situationally, but spiritually. Perhaps you're sitting here today, like me, just grateful that God has been good to you and you have a family and a home where these things are in place. And you are blessed. Maybe we just want to say thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace that has been so evidently at work in us. We lift those who are struggling in this realm and space to you, Lord. And we ask that you would miraculously intervene and bring about that beautiful restoration that Paul speaks about here. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.